Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I want an insurance agent that I trust and cares about me. I think I just described Purdy Insurance. Right insurance, best price. There's a claim, they go to work instantaneously. Instantly, they get to work for you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Wednesday, May 4th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Our goal is to sell it out this year and sell it out early. So get in touch with them and get involved with us that day, that Wednesday, May 4th, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It's only a good 6 weeks away. Sean, good day.
Good day to you, sir. Great to be back with you.
Great to have you back. Hope you enjoyed your time off, your vacation.
Sure did. Lots of hoops. Lots of Penn State wrestling. Well-rested,
yeah,
ready to go with you.
Yeah, let's get to the wrestling part first. Nate Cobbler is going to join us on the show today from the Center Daily Times, and we'll have Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia, and we'll touch a little bit on the Phillies. And, of course, we are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. There's a lot of ground to cover here in a lot of different areas. We are going to talk wrestling. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about the PIAA championships, which was dominated by Lamar Stevens, the Penn State recruit. We're going to talk about the Cuban trip that is happening as we speak, and that tomorrow the Rays will take on Cuba. We've got a lot to talk about in a short period of time. The CEO at Indian Wells and the bizarre comments he made. Let's start with the wrestling part, and then we'll get to the basketball part. Penn State wins another national championship, 5 in the last 6 years. They are the preeminent wrestling program in the country. It is a destination spot for any recruit. It is the type of place where maybe you'll take less in terms of aid because you want to be a part of something that's really special. The running joke that I've had all season long is that they're so good and so deep they could have it wrapped up by the time they get to that they could have had it wrapped up Friday night. Do you know how close that prediction came to happening? They actually wrapped it up Saturday morning. That's how good Penn State is. As for the finals, the person I feel best for above all is Nico Megalutis. Because as a senior, he's been down this road, and he's been to the finals. This is, what, his third time. And he finally was able to get to the summit of the mountain. And that was just great to see because he's thrown his heart and soul into it and has endured enough high-level heartbreak that it finally went his way. And he won it. Of all, he's the guy I'm happiest for. Zane Rutherford, pound for pound, could be the best wrestler in the country. Pound for pound. Explain to me when he was pushed all year. He has a high motor, always on the offense, always on the offensive, always on the attack. Once he gets you down, he grinds you down. Zane Rutherford, pound for pound, can be argued to me as the best wrestler in the country, pound for pound. He's just special.
And that moment, and where he handed his headgear to a little fan there along the railing before he walked off the floor was just so cool.
Yeah, that was nice. It was very nice. And he's just special. He has a chance to win two more. He could be a three-time champion when this thing is done. I don't see anybody that can challenge him. And the frightening part about Zane Rutherford is he's just going to get better. The guy I feel worst for is Morgan McIntosh. He's been there, he's climbed the mountain, but he didn't get to the summit, and he's a senior. He handled himself with tremendous class. I mean, Jaden Cox is an outstanding wrestler. I mean, there's no getting around that. And the sportsmanship that McIntosh showed was maybe better than anybody I saw all night. And I just feel badly for him because he's a senior. It's the first time he lost all year, and he came in that spot at that moment. And that's why I feel awful for him. The other two guys, they're both freshmen, redshirt freshmen, but they're both freshmen. They got three more opportunities at it. I'll be honest with you. They both wrestled. To me, they seemed a little tired. And they both seem to panic. When you always win, and this is a common denominator, by the way, I've seen in the NCAA tournament. When you always win, and you're always dominant, sometimes you don't know how to handle coming from behind. Nolfar obviously already pinned Martinez this year and shocked him. Martinez, to his credit, came back and in a no-takedown final in the Big Ten, Martinez was able to win. And he did a great job with underhooks and so forth. I thought Nolf did a great job of countering the underhook this time, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. He's lost two in a row to this guy. It's a razor's edge, but that razor's edge tells me at the moment Martinez is better and is a better rounded wrestler than Nolf is. Doesn't mean Nolf can't in the offseason. Remember, Martinez is older, too. It doesn't mean Nolf can't be, because Nolf can be dynamic. But again, in the clutch, when something had to happen, Martinez made it happen in the clutch, not Nolf. Bo Nickel got taken down right away. It kind of had this, what the heck's going on here look, and he never got rid of that what the heck's going on here look the rest of the 7 minutes. Again, all success all year, great success, fell behind. What do you mean I'm behind? I beat this guy three times this year. The great ones know how to overcome adversity. Nico Megalutis has overcome a lot of adversity in 4 years, especially in this match. And he finally won it. You know, Rutherford showed everybody what he could do a couple of years ago at Stieber, but he still didn't win the Big Ten title, but it taught him a lot. You could see he applied those lessons in winning the title this time. I mean, Rutherford, I don't think there's a better collegiate wrestler pound for pound than Rutherford. He's just that good. McIntosh was just, you know, sometimes you just get a bad matchup, and it just was a bad matchup for him against Cox. I mean, just what he does and how McIntosh wrestles doesn't quite match up style-wise how Cox wrestles. It just wasn't a good matchup. Nolf is great, but not as great as Martinez is right now. Martinez is a little bit better rounded wrestler than Nolf is. He beat him two of the last three times. Once that takedown deal was out of the way and it came time to wrestle, technically Martinez is better. And Nickel, that was a moment of immaturity on his part that he's going to regret for a year. He'll win it all next year, I would not doubt. And it'll be the lesson that he learned in Madison Square Garden the other night that will probably carry him for a year. Just my thoughts. You may have different thoughts, especially for people who were there. 800-795-9565 is the number. NCAA basketball tournament thoughts in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, so Penn State wins the national championship. It is easily the dominant program in the nation. It is a destination program for the top recruits in the country because you want to be a part of it the same way that many high school girls basketball players want to be a part of the UConn women's basketball program. Penn State wrestling is like that, is a destination program now. Basketball-wise, we'll get to Lamar Stevens here in a little bit and Tony Carr and Naz Bostic. It is amazing in this tournament that the teams that have been in the upper seeds that are really good teams that lost. Now, there isn't a perfect team out there, and it's amazing how the flaw for each team was exploited at critical moments. Let's start with Michigan State. Obviously, I've seen Michigan State in person twice this year. They are outstanding in so many ways. Let me tell you the one way where they're not outstanding. And Dick Girardi and I talked about this on the broadcast a couple of times. One area where they are not proficient, and it would have been a critical part of the game when they lost on Friday had they been somewhat proficient at this. Michigan State is not very good at getting live ball turnovers and turning it into offense. That's just not how they play defense. They're not a trapping team. They're not a team that gets a lot of deflections. They are a team that plays just really good straight-up defense. Middle Tennessee was only the second team all season to shoot 50% or better against them this year. And by the way, Michigan State lost that game as well. When you're in a situation like that, how do you turn the game around? You got to hit your shots. You got to hope that they miss a couple. But you can really turn it around, especially if you're the dominant team, by getting live ball turnovers and then translating it into big-time plays at the offensive end. It's not how Michigan State plays. Do you realize that Shep Garner, Josh Reeves, and Brandon Taylor would be ranked first, second, and third on Michigan State in steals? Again, Shep Garner, Josh Reeves, and Brandon Taylor would be ranked first, second, and third on Michigan State in steals. It's amazing. I mean, think about it. That's not Michigan State's game, and they can never turn the game around. You know, Michigan State was shooting about 50% themselves, which is terrific. They're usually a great rebounding team, but when the other team's hitting 56%, there aren't that many rebounds. And when you're shooting about 50%, there aren't that many rebounds as well, and Middle Tennessee State went 11 of 19 in threes. So the one area where that could have made a huge difference, if they were a team that was really great at getting live ball turnovers and translating into offense, that's not Michigan State's game. They're not a full-court trapping team trying to get deflections, trying to get steals and into runouts and things like that. That's not how they play. And they ran into a team that wasn't going to miss shots. Well, if a team's not going to miss shots, how do you get them to have empty possessions? The way to get teams that are shooting red hot from the field to get empty possessions is by turning them over and then translating it into your offense right away. In Michigan State, that's not how they play. West Virginia loses. What's their Achilles heel? They're not a good passing team. They haven't been a good passing team for 2 years. That's why I mentioned the other day when it came to Stephen F. Austin, I said, if they can get through this, they're going to be fine because of their trapping defense and so forth. They're going to be fine if they can get through this. But I said, Stephen F. Austin was a dangerous team because they turn you over 18 and a half times a game. Well, guess what? West Virginia is not a very good passing team. And that part didn't match up with Stephen F. Austin. And that's what ended up killing him. Purdue. Penn State had no trouble at all with their guards out in West Lafayette. None. Why? Penn State has better guards. Just do. Where Penn State had trouble was handling Hammonds and Haas. They handled Swanigan okay, but they couldn't handle Hammonds and Haas. There were times where the guy they used to double Hammonds was Vince Edwards' guy. Well, and Edwards got open. He hit a couple shots. Edwards played well that night. But Hammonds played great. Haas played great. Nobody else really played great that night. Well, except for Edwards. P.J. Thompson and Hill are okay. Hill's not a very good shooter. Penn State was doing what Little Rock did. They were taking Hill's guy and doubling down on Hammonds with him. Why? Because Hill can't shoot. Can't. You're playing 4-on-5 offensively with shooters on the floor when he's out there, and the same thing with Thompson. And they turned it over 18 times because, again, their guard play wasn't good enough. And that just crushed them. So each time, each one of these teams has had a flaw. Now, let's give the ACC credit. They're 12-1, a record 6 teams into the Sweet 16. Now, remember, a lot of people are also saying, well, it's an off year for the Big Ten. The Big Ten's number 2 at 8-4, you know. They've got 3 teams in. They have 3 teams in. They have Wisconsin, they have Maryland, and they have Indiana. The other part, too, is remember this, and I've talked about this several times. The Stephen F. Austins of the world, wasn't it between Stephen F. Austin and West Virginia? Stephen F. Austin is a team that is used to winning. Oh, and by the way, was in 3 consecutive one-and-done games to make the tournament and have momentum. West Virginia, like every other at-large team, is coming off a loss. These smaller schools carry themselves like champions. I remember being around Northern Colorado 5 years ago and seeing that after they played San Diego State, after Penn State had played. And that's what struck me. They carry themselves like winners.
Where what? Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Why? Because they understand that you need the right insurance at the best price. They also know when it's time for a claim, they jump all over it because they know it means a lot to you. In a moment, Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times on the NCAA Wrestling Championships, won by Penn State again, 5th time in 6 years. But then we'll get a little bit to Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, Naz Bostic a little bit later on Penn State basketball, and also the President's Cuban trip with the baseball game tomorrow between Tampa Bay and Cuba. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show as well. First, this day in sports history, in 1946, the Rams signed Kerry Washington to a contract. Washington was the first black player to join a National Football League team since 1933. In 1953, the Celtics beat the Syracuse Nationals 111-105 in four overtimes. A total of seven players fouled out in that game. In 1968, a year before they began play, the new American League franchise in Kansas City took the nickname the Royals. 1973, the great Frank Mihaljevic of the Montreal Canadiens became the fifth player in NHL history to score 500 career goals. In 1994, Wayne Gretzky tied Gordie Howe's NHL record with 801 goals. 1994, Michael Jordan was cut by the White Sox and sent to their minor league club at Birmingham. And one of the more bizarre stories in our lifetime. And in 2004 in Philadelphia, Veterans Stadium was demolished. I remember going to Citizens Bank Park for the first time with my good friend Patrick Scholl, who passed away 8 days ago. Painful to see Patrick go. And we were walking past the rubble of the Vet as we were going into Citizens Bank Park. And I looked over at Patrick and I said, you know what? That place never looked better. All right. Time now to talk a little bit more wrestling, then back to basketball a little bit later in the show with Nate Cobbler, Sunday Daily Times. Nate, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. I said in my opening that I think if the person I was happiest for was Nico Megalotis because of the journey to get there. What were your thoughts in watching him go through the tournament? What was he like post-match?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a guy that, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody was, you know, pulling for there. You know, being there two other times before and not being able to get over the hump and, you know, to cap off his Penn State career with a, you know, a national title. You know, when he was finished, he was on his knees and his head is on, his forehead is on the ground, just like, you know, like a gorilla was being lifted off his back. But, you know, as soon as he, you know, realized that what he had just accomplished, and he did his little media stint with, ESPN, of course, right off the mat, like they were doing, he immediately ran up into the stand and, you know, his mom and dad met him about halfway down the stand. So it was a pretty emotional moment, for himself. But, you know, even Kale said, you know, it was pretty emotional for them to see a guy like that finish his career with a national title.
It's such a long road with so many near misses, and Jeff Byers must have, if he had said it once, he must have said it 100 times in this program, Nico Megalotis can be a national champion. Well, now he is. Zane Rutherford was a buzzsaw. I mean, are there really any flaws in his game? He's in his third year now. He redshirted last year, but are there any flaws as to what he does?
No, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, once he gets the first takedown, he just throws in the boots, as they like to say, and he just puts on such a strong ride on top there that, you know, a lot of guys, they have troubles getting out from underneath them. And, you know, once he does that, then he starts cranking on their heads and he's trying to get them, you know, trying to get them to where they can't take it anymore. And then they're turning just to get the heck out of the match because they, you know, they walked in with a lion. So, you know, he's pretty well set for the next, you know, he's got two more years left. So it's a possibility where we could see another three-time champion, at Penn State here. And so it's, you know, he's a darn good wrestler to watch, that's for sure.
All right. Now I want to go from the Nico story to Morgan McIntosh. I mean, he's the guy I feel as bad for. I mean, you do what he did all year and you finally get to this point. It was his last shot, yet he handled it with such grace. What were your thoughts? Because obviously Cox is really good.
Yeah, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, when you go up against a guy like Jaden Cox, who pretty much just looks like he's going to manhandle anybody he wrestles to begin with, I mean, you know, it's a pretty even matchup between the two of them. But, I mean, Morgan, I feel for Morgan as well, just like you said, because, you know, he finished off his career with 114 wins here at Penn State, and, you know, he just came up short, you know, trying to get that national title there. But, you know, a lot of guys who don't become national titles, they become Olympic champions and or world champions. So, You know, the future is very bright for Morgan. He said he's going to be sticking around here and training with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club for the Olympics and everything else. So, you know, obviously, this, like I said, the future is bright for Morgan.
All right, now the other two, they still have plenty left in the tank in their careers. They still have 3 years each remaining. For let's start with Nickel. We'll get to Nolf and Martinez in a moment. Nickel rarely has been in that spot. What did you think of how he handled that spot where suddenly he has to fight from behind? I mean, because normally he gets in front and stays in front.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I think with both of the guys, which, you know, I don't want to put words in their mouths and everything else like that, but just from what I've seen, just what I saw there Saturday night, to me it almost seemed like they were stage shocked. With Nickel, he just come out, and I don't think Bo wrestled like Bo. And what I mean by that is he come out, and right away he was trying to get a throw right off the bat, and it cost him. I mean, he got taken down, and granted, yeah, he got out of it, but, I mean, it just seemed like he was going out there just real, like, too loose, you know what I mean? And he was just trying to throw things that, you know, if he just would have wrestled like Bo wrestles, then I think he'd have been okay. But because he's beaten that guy three other times already this year, and like I said, I just think it's one of those things where he just went out there just a little maybe too loose and was trying to throw things that he probably shouldn't have been trying to throw in the national finals.
Obviously, Martinez is really good. And he was able to beat Nolf twice. I mean, the first time there were no takedowns. This time there were takedowns. It seems like there's a very small difference between the two, but what is the difference?
Well, you know, we got to talk to Isaiah on Friday night as all the semifinalists come into the media room, you know, to talk about, you know, getting to the finals and everything. And he pretty much compared himself and Nolf to David Taylor and Kyle Dake. And the fact that, you know, Nolf really wrestles like David Taylor, who's always out there going out there to try to score points. And, you know, Isaiah had compared himself to Dake and the fact that, you know, Dake and himself are able to control that tempo of, you know, just trying to constantly go out there, just, you know, score the points. And he said, you know, Jason, you know, is so used to just going up against guys where as soon as he grabs their ankle, they're falling over. And he said, you know, once he comes up against guys like himself, that as soon as he gets the ankle, he's not falling over, then it's, you know, it's a totally different story. So he said that another thing he mentioned was, you know, not a whole lot of guys know how to wrestle Jason. But he says he's figured it out, and somebody had asked him. He said that, you know, basically he just needs to control the match. And then that, you know, like I said, that's how he compared it to David Taylor and Kyle Dake.
In fact, the first time at the Big Tens, he used the underhook so effectively, Nolf could never get into his offense. Yet it looked this time like Jason did a good job of really staying away from the underhook, but he still could not get control of him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Jason knows that's what Isaiah likes to do. And back in, I think it was January now, you know, when they squared off and Jason had pinned Isaiah, it was one of those things where he said he felt comfortable when he threw in the underhook. He felt like he was still in control of the match. So I don't know if it changed from, you know, from January to the Big Tens to Saturday or what, but like you said, you know, he's been real effective with the underhook, and mm-hmm. you know, Jason was able to get away from it. But I don't know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting next 3 years for those two, not to mention, you know, you got guys like Mark Hall that are coming into the program next year, and Nick Suriano from New Jersey, who's probably going to be a nice little fill-in for, you know, since Nico won't be around. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of years, that's for sure.
This has been an amazing ride where it's now, it seems like it's a destination spot for wrestlers to come here. And obviously they stay here too, because obviously there's a lot of Olympic trainees working here as well. I know a lot of that has to do with Kale, but when you talk to them about what it's like, I mean, the wrestlers, what it's like to be around this on an everyday basis, what do they tell you?
They said they can't, there's nowhere else in the country that they would get this. you know, when you're competing with you know, top level guys, like I mentioned, you're bringing in the top recruits every single year, and you know, you're getting to wrestle in with the Olympic guys like a Jake Varner or a David Taylor, or you know, when you're wrestling against that type of competition, it's only going to make you better. And then when you got a coach that's a four-time undefeated college champion who's been through it and he knows, you know, what it takes, I mean, you're not going to find that anywhere else in the country. Not as good as it is here.
Nate, absolute pleasure. Your insight was great all season long, and we appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks, Steve. I hope you have a good one. We'll talk to you again next winter.
And maybe even the Olympic trials, which will be, of course, coming up in Iowa City on the road to Rio. We'll come back with more in a moment. Our thanks to Nate Cobbler. Next half hour, Matt Leon. We'll get the update on Villanova and also on the Phillies as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Well, thanks to Nate Cobbler for joining us on the show today. All right. Now, with all the craziness going on with, you know, there's wrestling on Saturday night. I freely admit the only five matches I watched were the Penn State matches. I really didn't care who won the other ones. I mean, no offense. I just didn't. I'm entitled. Okay. So I was flipping back and forth between wrestling to make sure I caught all the Penn State matches, all five of them, and then get myself, but I also wanted to watch at the same time the PIAA basketball championship game because there are three future Nittany Lions in the game. Well, they won. Not only that, they won with ease. They fell behind 10-0 in the game, Roman Catholic did. Fell behind 10-0 to Alderdice, which looked like a good team. There's a couple players on Alderdice I really liked, especially Jackson, the guard, really good. But when I looked at Stevens, Carr, and Bostic, what a cut above all three are. Carr, despite having some foul trouble, he was saddled with four fouls. Was so calm and completely in control of the flow of the game, can drive, can shoot it, can rebound it, can really pass it, knows where all the chess pieces are on the floor. I was very impressed by Tony Carr as to how he played. Lamar Stevens, really good rebounder, great athlete, gets in the air, and does he ever finish? Oh, my goodness, what a great finisher he is. Interesting thing about Nazir Bostic, the least heralded of the three. Yet when you look at the run that they made the PIAA playoffs, it seemed like the last quarter and a half, he made one big play after another, and he did the same thing on Saturday night. I think he ended up with 17 points himself. I think Stevens had 27 points and 7 boards. I think Bostic had 17 and 5. And then Carr had 13 points, 8 boards, and 5 assists. Bostic made one big play after another down the stretch. Big dunk, big steal, big finish, big free throws. I don't think he – in fact, I don't think Bostic missed a free throw in the game.
And I was just impressed by what I saw. And one quick note on each, or not as a group. And then before I get to that, Joe Hampton, I talked to Joe Hampton three weeks ago. He was here. Great young man to talk to. Enjoyed talking with him very much. He tore that knee in October. He told me he is running now. Big plus. He will enter school, Hampton will, on May 18th for the first of the 2 6-week sessions because Oak Hill graduates on the 11th of May, maybe the 12th of May, they graduate. That's why he can get here early the way Josh Reeves did, which will be great for his rehab. I said, when do you think you're full go again? He says, probably right around the 4th of July. Okay. That gives him all summer in a full go mode. Just be smart. Take it easy. Because the season doesn't start in August. It starts in November. The four players coming in are a cut above what Penn State's had. You now add them into Josh Reeves, Terrence Samuel, Mike Watkins, Shep Garner, Peyton Banks, Julian Moore, Isaiah Washington. You now add them into that mix. And that becomes really important moving forward with what you have. That you have some cut above athletes, but it's also going to be a transition time for them getting into the college game. Anybody who doesn't think there isn't a transition time from one level to the next is really fooling themselves. Some of these guys, to their credit, make it look so easy that you don't think that there's a transition time, but there's a transition time for everybody, the speed of the game, the strength of the game. One thing that you will have coming in that will be completely different, though, is by having three guys from the same high school team playing together that played in the same AAU team together. They already know each other. Carr knows how Bostic plays. He knows how Stevens plays. There's no break-in period for those guys. It'll be a question now of getting ready with everybody else. And that'll be a plus. But physically, mentally, playing the possession games that you play in the Big Ten repeatedly, all that is going to take some transition for each of them to do. But they're better equipped to handle the transition than other people that we've seen here at Penn State. And I was impressed by them. And I've seen Joe Hampton play before, by the way. So Joe Hampton, I actually had seen him play a little bit more than I had seen Carr, Stevens, and Bostic. And Patrick Chambers has laid a really nice foundation now to build upon. Really nice. Now it's a question of building upon it and then adding more parts to it. But the program is taking big steps forward by having these four guys in there. But there's also going to be a transition time that I caution everybody. Allow them to make the transition. Because once they get to game speed and understand the speed of the game on this level and the strength of the game on this level, I think once they have a handle on that, they're all going to be very, very good. But I was impressed by what I saw on Saturday night. Very impressed. Dick saw them in person. Dick Girardi saw them in person. In the game against Plymouth White Marsh, Dick said, really, really good. He said, maybe not superstars, but really, really good. And I thought that was, as usual, from Dick, an accurate portrayal. Next half hour, Matt Leon. We're going to talk about Villanova, a little bit on St. Joe's, and about the Phillies. Because after all, News Radio 1070 WKOK is your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Second hour of the show still to come, including our play-by-play call of the day next as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.